This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Those are the sounds of the second line Social Aid and Pleasure Society brass band playing at last year's Honk Festival. That's a gathering of activist street bands that wants to replace cars with music, at least for a weekend, on the roads of Somerville, Cambridge, and Boston. And this weekend will mark the fifth year that marching bands from around the country come here to make a ruckus, as they put it. Joining us is a member of one of the street bands that will be traveling to Boston this weekend. Michael May is a senior editor at the Texas Observer, and he's a founding member of the Minor Mishap Marching Band in Austin. Welcome to Radio Boston, Michael.
Hi, Sasha.
Also with us is Jeff Edgers, an arts reporter at the Boston Globe. He'll be sharing some to-do tips for this coming weekend. Thanks for being here also, Jeff.
Sure. Very nice to be here.
Michael, first, I want to get a sense of your role in the Minor Mishap Marching Band, because you play the banjo, but not just any banjo, right? You actually play with an amp strapped to your back?
Well, I learned pretty fast that just having a banjo as loud and obnoxious as a banjo can be was really no match for a marching band. So yeah, I have an amp that I strap to my back.
And about 20 people from your band will be flying to Boston this week to be in the Honk Parade, although you've actually come to Honk before. And,
yeah.
And you've described the experience as, and here I'm quoting you, you say, it's like thousands of us wailing, banging, howling, riffing in the streets like a single organism. So what is it like to be part of that?
It's absolutely intoxicating. I joined Minor Mishap and was just amazed at what we could do as one single band just under a highway overpass. You know, we just start playing and cars slow down, look out the window, and suddenly, you know, we're turning this barren streetscape into a party. And then, you know, you come to Honk and there's, what, 30 bands, something like that anyway?
I think so, yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's wonderful.
So why travel all the way from Texas to Boston with all your gear to be in this Honk Parade?
Well, I think it's pretty much the same reason that every Sunday I march out of my house and go down to the park to join our regular weekly practice. It's just to be part of something that's just bigger than than one person, bigger than ourselves. And it's like, it's just magnified that much more to go to Honk. And last year, Honk was a big turning point for our band. We had formed just a few months, actually. Well, about 6 months before Honk. And it was we came back so much better as a band. I mean, just seeing the kind of performances and the just incredible musicianship.
So you picked up
that we saw at Honk.
You picked up tips from other people that you saw perform here.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Michael May, you've also written a little about the history of marching bands. And I think that many people now think of marching bands as mostly football halftime shows. But, of mm-hmm. course, they were originally meant to inspire tired soldiers to carry on and to keep marching. But tell us what you think they've evolved into today.
Well, in terms of the Honk movement, I mean, there's probably other marching band movements around the world, but my understanding is that the started in Seattle at the protest to the WTO and maybe other protests around that time. Marching bands started to actually become a form of street protest. And I think this, you know, originally this was a way to be a less intimidating form of protest. You know, it's kind of an alternative to a traditional like black bloc, which is pretty intimidating with guys with like slingshots and, you know, handkerchiefs across their faces going out and potentially doing vandalism and that sort of thing. I mean, a marching band can stop traffic in a street, challenge a phalanx of police officers, but it's in a much more playful way. And, you know, if you start tear gassing a marching band, that really doesn't look good.
Let me have Jeff Edgers, who's the Boston Globe arts reporter, also here with us, step in here. Because, Jeff, this is the fifth year Honk is happening. You live in the area. Do you go to this parade?
Well, in the past, I've just kind of stumbled upon it. It's held at a good time of the year where you're just sort of wandering around. And I remember coming into Davis Square and just wondering what's going on here.
It's hard to miss it because there's literally these brass bands everywhere. You see them. You hear them.
Yeah, and there are crowds of people around. I mean, it's almost like a improvisational circus with like Tom Waits's musicians wandering around. You know, that's what it feels like. It doesn't feel it's funny to call it marching bands because I think of like the University of Illinois or something, or the Army. I mean, this feels like sort of a ragtag bunch of really talented musicians with great spirit, just kind of having like a be-in, you know, almost.
Michael May also has this theory, and you can talk about this more, Michael, but I want to read from something you said. He has this theory that marching bands bring communities together. And in a recent essay he wrote, most of the time, the city is a collection of private homes and businesses divided by roads and sidewalks. But when we head out on a march, people come out of their homes and into the street. And he talks about how they make people laugh and smile and dance. Do you buy that, Jeff, that it's this larger purpose and these bands bring people together?
Well, I mean, you can think about the, you know, Halloween parade in, you know, Greenwich Village, you know, and you can, I mean, I think that there are a lot of things we need to do to bring people together, but this is definitely, you know, definitely does that for that weekend. I mean, I don't know if people are thinking politically when they're watching these bands. I know I'm not. I'm just kind of reveling in the energy and the excitement, and like kids love it and adults love it. You know, it does bring people together, but then the festival ends and you're back to your normal life. Not to sound bleak.
Sure. You mentioned kids love it. Whenever I've seen this band, you realize that kids, when they hear a beat, they almost can't help from dance. You see these little kids just sort of rocking to the beat of these bands. It's quite a scene.
Well, a lot of drums, you know, a lot of
exactly.
drums. And if I see that dude with the banjo with the amp on him, I mean, I'm going to bring my daughter right over there. Never seen that before.
Michael May, you are that dude with the amp and the banjo. And one thing you wrote about the Honk Parade made me laugh. You said, no one seems to be in charge, but the festival manages to be well organized. So it's somehow orderly chaos. Is that your take on it?
Yeah, and, you know, as well as being the banjo player minor mishap, I'm also a journalist, so I'm always kind of curious about how things come together. And I was asking people, I was like, who runs this? Who's in charge? And, like, nobody knew. I mean, there's nobody walking around with, like, you know, staff T-shirts on or anything like that. It's just, like, food magically appears, parties happen, people find, you know, shelter, everybody's housed. It's remarkable. And I think it really shows the best part of that activist culture that we are talking about.
And, you know, Jeff, you can correct me if this is wrong, but I'm not sure that Honk has any corporate sponsors at all. In fact, I think most of the bands get put up in people's private homes. So it's this very community event with, I'm not sure there's any business backing.
Yeah, it's not unlike, I mean, in some ways, you know, when there are art shows and in galleries and people are traveling around, or when there are theater companies, you know, even like a theater company like the ART, when a lot of those people come in from out of town, they find people who are friends of the company and put them up and have them live there, which is really kind of nice. You know, you think of like a giant community potluck almost.
So, Jeff, for listeners out there who think that marching bands just aren't their style, there is the opposite side of the musical spectrum this weekend, and that's that it's a big weekend for the Boston Symphony Orchestra and an even bigger weekend for the BSO's conductor, James Levine. Tell us why this is such a big deal for him.
Well, I mean, he came back last week after months off stage due to injury, and we saw that he can conduct and conduct really well. But, you know, a lot of people said, hey, let's see what happens when he gets into the season with the, you know, the physical challenges. Well, you know, this weekend is going to present perhaps the most challenging of all, which is this October 9th program that he's doing, where he's going to conduct an opera at the Met in the afternoon on Saturday. Then he's going to hop on a plane, and he's going to come to Symphony Hall, and he's going to conduct Mahler's Second, which is not exactly like, you know, light music.
And grueling for a guy that even like, that, unlike Levine, doesn't, you know, a guy like Levine who has back problems, so even a young, healthy, you know, person without that is going to have a tough time pulling that off.
I mean, I'm not like the youngest guy, but I'm a lot younger than he is, and I got to say, I would not be excited about this schedule, you know?
Jeff Edgers and Michael May, besides marching bands, there will also be flamenco in Davis Square this weekend. That's the flamenco guitarist Juanito Pascual. He'll be performing at the Somerville Theater on Saturday. Is flamenco something that appeals to you, Jeff?
Well, I'm trying to think of a polite way to say that. I mean, I was watching that clip, and he's very talented. He looks kind of like Yanni. Those are two things that are in his favor. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I mean, but I would go see that and listen to it, you know?
Jeff, it turns out that Michael May, who's here with us, is and who's the Honk Festival participant, went to school with Juanito Pascual. And Michael, it turns out that Juanito Pascual is not the name he was born with. Is it true that you call him John?
Yeah. Yes, I know him as John Gordon.
John Gordon?
John Gordon? Yeah. This is terrible.
How did John Gordon become Juanito Pascual?
I think he came to it really naturally. He spent years in Spain, and everyone called him Juanito. And he's Jewish. I actually know him from an Orthodox Jewish school that we both went to. I mean, I remember being on the school bus with him when we're 10 years old, and we're dreaming up our first heavy metal band, and we'd practice our, you know, air guitar and synchronicity.
And so, Michael, I'm not sure you're authorized to tell this story.
I've been wondering that as I'm talking. So, anyways, it's been amazing to watch a virtuoso just grow up, you know?
Sure. Different kind of music. One theater district show in town this weekend that seems to be getting a lot of attention is Rock of Ages. So imagine a musical based on this.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world.
Yes, that is Journey. And obviously, this is an 80s music show. There's bands like Pat Benatar, Whitesnake. Jeff Edgers, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I say thumbs up. I mean, that's Steve
that's your
Perry,
era, right?
Steve Perry, you know? I mean, he's not in the show. But no, you know what this is? This show is like Mamma Mia, except instead of ABBA, you have like REO Speedwagon and Journey. And I think they do We Built This City. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of it, you know?
So you might buy a ticket.
Yes, definitely.
And then finally, Jeff, I hear that there's something going on in your hometown or the town you live in now this weekend that you think is worth mentioning.
Well, it's actually, I just have to correct that. I wanted to give everybody a huge jump on this because I know there people are going to be clamoring to get in there, which is it's the weekend of October 16th and 17th.
Ah, so not this weekend.
Yeah, but that's okay. The Arlington Open Studios, you know, and I think we don't spend enough time in our community, you know, looking at art. We go to New York or we go to L.A. or something, and I could actually afford some of this stuff. So that's happening, you know. I mean, you're going to be at Honk all weekend. So next weekend when you need to commune with art, I would go to Arlington Open Studios.
And, of course, Open Studios are really all over the place now. And it seems like on any given weekend there's something going on in Cambridge or JP. Fort Point Chandel does it. So a lot of opportunities out there for Open Studios.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much to both of you for coming on. Michael May is a senior editor at the Texas Observer, and he's also a founding member of the Minor Mishap Marching Band in Austin, Texas. Part of that group will be flying up to Massachusetts this weekend to perform at the Honk Festival. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
And Jeff Edgers is an arts reporter at the Boston Globe. Thanks again to you too, Jeff.
Thank you. Can't wait to see the banjo.
To learn more about Honk and the other events we just talked about, visit our website, wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.